So God is great. God is Lord. The scripture says that he sat as Lord over the flood. He is king. He is above all. He's above everything. He's distinct. He is distinct from everything that he's ever made. He is self-sufficient. Doesn't need us. Some folks call that transcendence. You've heard that a couple of times in the promo. He's a transcendent God. He is above all. He's created everything. He's this great God. He is transcendent in his character and in his nature, in his holiness, in his knowledge. He is a great, almighty Father God. And in that transcendence, in that self-sufficiency, in that he has need of nothing, he chooses to be immanent. He is the immanent God. He is the God that is near. He is the God that is involved. The transcendent God, distinct, above all, self-sufficient in everything and from everything, but yet he's the immanent God and he is involved in everything. He is involved in creation. He is the God who is near, not just way up on the throne where the seraphim are singing, holy, holy, holy. Yes, he's there, but he's also here. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He's a God who desires to be known, made known. And that's why we live. That's why we breathe. The scripture says that he's involved in our lives. Job said it this way, in his hand is the life of every living thing, the breath of everything. Paul said this in a sermon in Acts 17, that God gives to all men life and breath and everything. And in him we live and we move and we have our being. And he even sets the boundaries of our habitation. He is involved. He is involved in your life. He knows what you go through. He knows the pain. He knows the hardship. He knows the difficulties. He knows the good things, the good times. He knows everything. He's involved in everything. The scripture says, and John said this, John the Baptist in John chapter 3, he said, a man can receive nothing unless it comes from the hand of God. John, the apostle in John 1, describes God as this creator God of the world. He stands alone. He speaks of this transcendent God. But he also speaks of this immanent God when he says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And 2,000 years later, we get to still behold the glory of God. In every area of our life, in every circumstance, in every situation, our eyes can be set upon him. He is the God who's near, the God who wants to speak. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 1. I want you to notice a couple of things about what the angel says to Joseph when he realizes that Mary has conceived, and he knows that it's not his child. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. He planned to divorce her secretly. And when he had considered this, watch, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You know, sometimes God speaks to us in dreams. Sometimes there's just some impressions that God gives to us in our sleep. And that we wake up and we see other things happening that just kind of move along with that. And we may not understand it, and we may not have it as specific as Joseph has here, but this angel appears to him to speak. He's not just transcendent. He's involved. He's imminent. He's right there. He's right there. He's right here in our lives. And I want you to see when he says that this angel came to him in a dream, he says, this Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save, he will deliver, he will restore his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. A couple of things happening here, right? One that's happening, that God's speaking. And God's speaking to this man in really hard circumstances. He's engaged. He's betrothed to Mary. He has this commitment to her. And I mean, really, the deal is already sealed. I mean, that there's covenants that have been made. All that's going to happen now is the consummation of it. And that's why it says in the original that he's going to divorce her. He's going to divorce her because she has been found unfaithful in his mind and in his heart. And I would say that he jumped to a conclusion, right? You ever jump to a conclusion and realize later on that conclusion was wrong because you weren't hearing God in it? And you judged, or you did something, or you said something, or you just moved along with critical spirit or whatever that was, but you jumped to the conclusion, and it was a conclusion that was wrong, a conclusion about the future that you have no idea about. And you might have jumped to a conclusion, and you worried, and you fretted, and you sinned, and you fell short of God's glory, and all of that, and you realized the conclusion was wrong. And you went through all of that because of a false conclusion. Not all what it seems, folks. And I love this about the gospel story, about the coming of this great God who became flesh and dwelt among us. He comes through the agency of a woman. He comes through the birth of a woman who is a virgin, who knows no man. But Joseph doesn't understand that completely until what? Until he's given knowledge, until he is spoken to by God through this angel. And then he understands, right? He understands. And then and what's interesting about this, when he hears God, God gives him some very distinct instruction about what he's to do. Now tonight, one of the sections that you'll be looking at tonight is the whispers of action, where God comes along and gives you specific action commands. And sometimes it's really specific, and sometimes it's just general, and sometimes we just got to be like Abraham when God says to Abram, hey, get up and go to the place where I'm going to show you. And he just has to get up, and he has to go along following God to the place that he's going to show him. Well, right here in this wonderful passage of Scripture, God says, listen, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. How she's conceived through the Holy Spirit. She's known no man. We call this the virgin birth. And she's going to bear a son, and guess what you're going to do? Joseph, you're going to call him Jesus. And this is a fulfillment from Isaiah that says that his name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. That is the imminence of God. God is here. God is here right now. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, but not just with us. He's with us at work. I love when you do the study of the name Jesus, and what Jesus just simply means is deliverer. Deliverer, Savior. And I love this portion of this passage of Scripture because it just speaks to God with me at work to save me. God with me to deliver. God with me to save me. God with me to pull me out of the pit. God with me to put on the rock, to put me on the rock. God with me to make my footsteps firm. God with me to walk the walk of salvation, to walk the walk of deliverance, to walk the walk of life. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus. God with you to save you. Well, you say, well, I already got saved when I was 10. Well, listen, we're walking it out today. We're walking out the very fact that God declared us saved when we came to Christ and believed, and we're walking that out today. And we move through life, and we're tempted, and we have decisions to make. But guess what? God with us, Emmanuel, to deliver us, to lead us, to move us through. What I like about this passage of Scripture is that Joseph hears the word, and he does the word. And you know what he does? He gets up, and he does what God asks him to do. If you want to hear God, make sure there's a commitment that you're going to do what he's asked you to do. Now, he'll assure us, and so we just believe that. He'll admonish us. He'll tell us where we got some things wrong. And then he'll give us action steps to take. And I just believe that he wants to do this every single day of your life. That's the kind of intimacy that we have in Christ Jesus. He's not just some, we're just not a part of some religion where we do this and we don't do this. No, we listen to the voice of God through the lens of Scripture and we follow him. And you see this all through Scripture. It's the God who makes himself known. So how do we hear him? How do we hear him on a daily basis? Well, the first thing that I want to just kind of reiterate from last week, but just continue a little bit and just talk about it in a different way, is we hear God through Scripture. We hear God through the Word of God. So why you heard me say we must be in our Word, we must be in our Bible. We hear him through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 is on the screen. All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay, it's God-breathed, inspired by God. And it is profitable to teach you, to show you. Now, this teaching is not just a teaching to give you just knowledge. He empowers you with the Spirit of God to follow through with the teaching, with the instruction. So there's teaching, there's discipling, there's instruction. In that teaching, there is assurance, there is admonition, there is action in the teaching of God. But it is also profitable for reproof, for admonition, to reprove you. Some of us this week walk through some things that we just need the reproof of God. And all that is just the God coming along saying, hey, and he may do it through a friend. He may do it through a devotion. He may do it through something that you're reading. But you realize, I'm in a place that I don't need to be. And you know, it's not just you saying it, but it's the Spirit of God saying it. You're not supposed to be where you are right now. How many of you had that word before? Yeah, raise your hand. Yeah, hi. Man, I feel sorry for you if you hadn't. Because listen, this is how God teaches. I wake up, and when I say, I'm not supposed to be where I am, that's God speaking to me. That's God through the impression of what God's showing. So it's profitable to tell me where I'm lacking. And then he corrects me. I love the word correction. The word correction literally means to stoop down and pick you up and put you on the right track. Usually that's what reproof does. Reproof comes along and you're just undone. And you just want to faint. You just want to go to sleep. You just want to go hide. You just want to get under the covers. You just want to be by yourself. And then God comes along and says, oh, let me correct you. Let me pick you up and let me put you on the right path. And then what he'll do is he'll train you in righteousness. How to walk it out. How to live it out. Listen, I want to say this. And I mean this with all my heart. A relationship with God is so wonderful and so great that when I look at Scripture and how it's profitable, it's not to make me feel bad or push me down or stomp my head. No, he comes to stomp the enemy's head, not your head. And with all my heart this morning, when I share with some of these things, I don't mean to stomp you on your head. If you feel that way, it's not coming from me, because I'm smiling. You see me? I'm smiling while I'm saying it. But weren't you so pleased that when God said to you, hey, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. Sometimes he did it in a whisper. Sometimes he did it in a shout. Sometimes he did it in a crisis. Sometimes he did it while you were being disciplined by him. But aren't you glad God showed you? Aren't you glad God moved through you? Because, you know, I say this all the time at prison. Listen, when I don't do what God asked me to do, it doesn't work. And I asked that. I said, is that working for you? Is that working for you? That you go your own way and you live your own way and you follow your own flesh and you do your own thing. Does that work for you? No, it doesn't work for us. It doesn't. Not one day of anger, not one day of bitterness, not one moment of lust, not one moment of greed, not one moment of fear, not one moment of worry, not one moment of anxiety. That doesn't work. Does it work for you? No, it doesn't work for you. So I have this scripture, and he inspired it. God breathed it, and it comes to hit my soul. It comes to move into my soul, into my mind, into my heart, so that I might be instructed in such a way that I'm being trained in the righteousness of God. Now listen, what we find in scripture, those of us who were saved by grace, right? We're saved by grace. And in scripture, who are the righteous? They're the ones who believe. We're righteous by faith. Not by the doing. Now that comes, but we're made righteous by faith, believing the promise of God. I hear God through the Word. I hear Him, and I hear Him clearly. You know, when I go to the Word, I see some things that are really interesting. And I said this last week, I shared this last week. There are things that the Word tells me to be, I'm to be about, that I don't need to hear the whisper. I already know it. Is that right? I already know a bunch if I've been in the Word a lot. I already know a bunch about God. I already know a bunch about His character. I already know about a bunch of how He lives and how He works and how He moves and what He wants. Matter of fact, some of us have the life verse of the Hosea chapter that says, He has told you, O man, what is good. We quote that from Micah. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires. To love kindness, to do justice, to walk humbly with your God. Now, those are three things that I don't need to hear the whisper. Now, I need to sometimes hear it and be reminded of it, right? But it comes from the Word. It comes from the Scripture. Last week in your time together, you talked about the filters of hearing God. Can I tell you what a couple of mine are? It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. I don't know if I have it in there. But he says, listen, he's talking about doctrine. He's talking about teaching. And he says, listen, when you're studying and when you're looking at doctrine and you're looking at teaching, you need to make sure it agrees, number one, with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. Did you hear that? There's a third thing that I add in my own thinking. Will it advance the kingdom of God and His righteousness? So when I'm moving through life and I'm wanting to hear God and I think I hear something and I don't want it, and I'm thinking, well, is that God or is that me? I want to ask, well, does that agree with the sound words of Jesus? Is that something Jesus would say? And if I walk through it and follow through it, will it conform me to godliness? Will it be a doctrine? Will it be a teaching that conforms to godliness? And will it advance the kingdom of God? Will it advance what I'm doing, what I'm deciding to do today, is that an advancement of the kingdom of God and His righteousness? The very righteousness that I'm believing in. I don't know about you, that's my filter. I want to ask these things. I want to ask God, God, I want to hear you. But you know, most of the things that I hear are things that God has just revealed to me through Scripture, through Word. You know, again, I want to say this before I read some of this. One day, you know, thinking about just He has told you, I wrote down 144 things that God has told us in the Word. 144 things. Now, I don't open this up every day and just wring my hands. I wonder if I'm going to do all these today. Because, no, I don't do that. But just listen to a couple of things, a few things from this 144 that God asks of us, puts before us. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Look out for the interest of others. Be slow to speak, quick to listen. Lay down your life for your wife. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Preach the word. Always be ready to make a defense of the gospel. Study to show yourself approved. Commit your life to faithful men. Raise your children in the instruction and fear of the Lord. For you men, be a man. You know, that's an admonition from Scripture.
Be a man. Be a man.
Imitate God. Be patient, forgiving. Tarry in the presence of the Lord. Be wise in what is good, innocent in what is evil. Do all things without grumbling. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all men. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Be kind to one another. Lay aside the old self. Put on the new self. Fulfill your ministry. Live at peace with one another. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue sanctification. Endure hardship. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't lie. Speak the truth with one another. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Let no unwholesome word come from your mouth. Put away all anger, bitterness, malice. Understand what the will of God is. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Do not lose heart in doing good. Do good to all men. Be anxious for nothing. Accept one another. Let your light shine. Enter by the narrow gate. Flee from idolatry. Confess your sins to one another. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember the prisoners. Remember those ill-treated. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Do your work heartily as for the Lord. Always, always rejoice in the Lord. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Devote yourselves to prayer. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sin. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. Honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of your produce. Honor your father and mother. Honor the aged. Take hold of eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. However you want people to treat you, so treat them. Believe the gospel. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Put on the new self. Be kind. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Be a doer of the word. Stand firm in the faith. I don't know about you, but when I read those kinds of things and I know they're from God, there's just this washing. There's just this, He cares enough about me to show me life. And these are things that we know. These are the things we love. These are the things that we walk after. And so when we hear God, we hear Him through Scripture. We hear Him through the Word. So that when you're tempted to steal something or cheat on something, you know already know that's wrong. But yet the whisper of God does come and does encourage us. Does and reminds us of that Scripture. And that's how He talks to us. How many of us know a lot of these things and understand that in circumstances that we find ourselves in, that God comes along and reminds us and we go, oh yeah, that's right. Especially when you're having a bad day and you're mad and you're getting on the road and somebody gets in front of you and you're impatient and you're grumbling and you're complaining and you're doing all those things. Do you do that? We all do that. And He reminds me, oh, is that working for you today? No, it's not working for me. It's not doing anything for me today, my faith in Christ. But He's told me what's good. He's told me what's good. The second way that we receive just words from God is from the Spirit speaking to us. I love what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. You find some great things in chapter 14. So turn John chapter 14. So I want you to turn there for just a moment. We hear God through the Word, so we need to be in the Word, need to meditate on the Word, memorize the Word, just remember the Word, do the Word. I mean, there's just lots of responses to the Word. But when God is talking, when Christ is talking to His disciples and He's about to leave, He says a couple of things. He says, I'm about to leave you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send my Spirit. And He calls Him the Helper. He calls Him the Helper. The presence of God by the Spirit of God is your helper. He helps you. In John 6:33, He says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. And then He'll speak of this helper in John 14. Look at verse 16. I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another helper that He may be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth whom the world can't receive because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm imminent. I'm the imminent God that comes to you. Matter of fact, I'm living in your life. It's called the Holy Spirit of the living God. I'm not going to leave you. You move through a verse like verse 26, and it says He teaches us about everything. We look at John 15:26. The helper testifies about Jesus. In John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, John says, you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know, and you have no need of anyone to teach you anything, but just as the Spirit teaches you and is not a lie. And he goes on and he says, because this anointing will teach you how to abide in Jesus. So again, the Scripture teaching and the Holy Spirit speaking, leading us so that we're hearing God, and our life is just a symphony of hearing and speaking and praising and loving and sharing life with this great God who is imminent today, who wants to be involved in every area of your life. So here's the question. Transcendent God who's imminent, who speaks to us through Scripture and speaks to us through the Spirit, what can that look like today? Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. And we'll finish up just real briefly with a couple of points. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's say that you're facing something today. I mean, there's just something that you're facing, and it's just right before you, okay? And you know, maybe it's a decision that you have to make. Maybe there's a trial. Maybe there's loss. Maybe there's just something that just isn't happening that you really felt like God said is going to happen, and it's just not happening. And I love this passage of Scripture, and Rod shared verse 21 with the guys at prison on Wednesday night, and we talked a little bit about to those guys, which, by the way, I appreciate you praying for me on every second Wednesday of the month when I head to Gatesville to speak to 300 men. I've been doing it for 10, 12 years, probably spoken there 100 times. You know, can let me tell you something about just that for just a moment. 10 or 12 years ago, I show up at this place and I preach on a Sunday morning. And they ask me, can you do it regularly? And that's an invitation, right? That's just an invitation. And Wednesday night was just awesome. And you go into this place. I was talking to Johnny in Sunday school class because they were talking about doing the least of these things, you do it to Jesus. The first time you go through a prison, I mean, it is unnerving. You're showing your driver's license. You're getting locked up in these little cells. You're moving through gates. I mean, you go through the guard shack. You go through metal detectors. They're frisked. And I mean, they frisk you down, and it happens every week. They look at your socks. You got to do that. You got to do this. I mean, you know, you give your license. You go into the little cell. They give your license back. You go into a place. There's a gate with barbed wire fence all around it and razor. You walk in. You go to the administration. You open a door. You go through a hall. There's another holding cell. You give the license, you go in, they close you up, they open, you go in, you open a door, you're in the place, you see guys in single file walking around, some of them know you, hey Pastor, hey Mike, talking, you know, some guys are really happy in prison, I just want you to know that, and they've got a good spirit about them, because they've got Jesus, and so they found Jesus, and so, then you go through one gate, and then you go through another gate, and another gate, and you go through another gate, and you open it, you close it behind you, you go through one last gate, and you go through the door, and you're finally in the Chapel of Hope. Yeah, that's what it's called. And the first time you go through it, I want to tell you, I lost 5 pounds. No, I'm kidding. Sweat, worry, what is this place? And then you walk in, it's like fresh breath of air. And then you sit in those days you had to sit up on the stage area, and people start coming in, and they're slapping each other around, and they're not in a bad way, but glad to be there, glad to see you, because they live in different places, and they're getting ready to worship. And I thought, man, I feel like they're coming into camp right now. They look like 10-year-old boys coming to camp, seeing their friends. And the thing is what really most of those guys are, they're still 8, 9, and 10, and 20, and 30, and 40, and 50, and 80, 60-year-old bodies. Listen, I met a 17-year-old guy in there once who just got a capital murder charge. He's going to be in there the rest of his life. I see people there in their 50s and 60s who haven't been free since they were 18 years old. And I walk in, and it's like this every time I walk in. It was like this. It was really like this last Wednesday night. Every time I walk in with kind of not an expectation. You know, I don't know why. I'm just going. There's some days, and I've done it for so long, some days I think, gosh, I'm tired. I'm exhausted today. I mean, I'm not going to get home until 10:30. I'm not feeling too good. Maybe I ought to not go. Maybe I'll just call and say, I can't come. I said, no, I can't do that. So I get in a car and I go. And you know, it never fails, and you've heard me say this, And I don't mind saying it again because I never get tired of saying it. Sometimes I walk out, and when I walk out that last door, I think, I just was in the presence of Jesus. I saw Jesus tonight. I spoke to Jesus tonight. And you know what? I promise you this. This is how fresh it is every time I go. I usually don't think about it. Now, sometimes I think, I'll get to go see Jesus tonight. But most of the time, I don't. I'm busy. I'm getting there. I'm trying to get there really quick, trying to get in through. And sometimes it's a hassle getting through because usually it's guard shift. And I mean, it's a hassle. And, you know, it's like, and this is what I told somebody this week. It's like I have this canvas, and it's white, okay? It's a canvas. It's nothing on it. And I don't have a pencil, charcoal. I don't have an oil paint or an acrylic paint, chalk to write a picture. But it's like I carry that in, and I go through the 3 hours, and I walk out, and I think, oh, it's a beautiful painting. Is that me? Is that those folks? Is that God? Is that what God did? Is that God what God is doing? And you know, I want to say this. I came out this Wednesday and said, God, I want every 3 hours to look like that. Listen to me. Where I'm just carrying my canvas and I go into a coffee and I think, let's paint something. Let's paint something. And let's come out with the masterpiece. Because he's the one painting it. He's painting our relationships. And if I don't hear God and I don't listen to God, and if I don't care about what God says, I miss out on great artwork. Yes, exactly. I miss out on great artwork. God wants to speak to you today. I wanted to say this. This is me. This is me right now. God, I want every 3 hours to be like that. I want you to be able to come to this place with an empty canvas every Sunday morning. Some of you come and you're here at 8:30 and you pray. And then you just start, we start drifting in. And so from 8:30, and some, the last of you sometime leave at 1. And so from 8:30 to 1, I hope that you'll bring a canvas in. And when you walk out and get in your car and start talking about it, you think, that's just not a painting. That's HD. That's high definition what God just did in my life. And then to get up and work and think when I come out at the end of a day, God's given me another masterpiece. He's taken the palette out. He's painted something great because we decided we would hear him. We decided that what the word has said, that we'd walk it out. We'd walk through it. And so, I appreciate so much going to prison. And I appreciate you praying for me every second Wednesday. I've got a ton of guys going in with me next time. I've already talked to Mark Stutler and Dave Cullins. And let me tell you, I've had lunch with them, and they're in an adoption process from Haiti, right? And I mean, it's been hard. It's been difficult. But they're hearing God on this, and they're pushing through, even though it's been hard and there's been delays. And I said, you know what? We'll go in, and I'll have you stand up. And this is the honest truth. They'll stand up, and they'll talk about the adoption process. And they may not step back into that Chapel of Hope for another year, but the next time they do, they're going to have 10, 15 guys come up and say, tell me about the babies. We've been praying every day. And they will, for 150 of them, 150 to 200 will pray every day if you ask them to do that. And I just want to tell you, I mean, that if I'm not hearing God, if I'm hearing my flesh, if I'm hearing my carton, if I'm wanting to do because I'm tired or I'm exhausted or because I don't think I'm qualified for it or all of that, I miss out on the masterpiece. So let me just tell you real quick how not to miss out on this, okay? So Isaiah chapter 30, okay? And let me get my glasses back out. All right. Isaiah chapter 30. I think we're going to, well, let's look at verse 1 for just a moment, then we're going to head to verse 15, okay? Now watch this, verse 1. This is the first point. Go to God and his word. You got trouble, you got struggle, go to God. To make that be your default. You go to God, you go to his word. Because look what he says. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but it's not my plan. They make an alliance, but you're not making an alliance by my spirit. And what happens is you're adding sin to sin. You're proceeding down to Egypt. You're proceeding down to somewhere else without even consulting me, to take refuge in the safety in Pharaoh, to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Look, default to God. Default to God. Execute a plan and make sure it's God's plan. Because a lot of times what we like to do is, and we talked about this sometime this week, we like to make our plans and ask God to bless it instead of God saying, hey, these are your plans. Now ask me to bless it. This is what I want you to do. So I go to God. You got a problem, got a struggle, you go to Him. You default to Him. Default to His Word. Default to what you know. Default to what you know in God, in Christ. And you know, sometimes we have this experience that's really interesting. Listen, and it's great. The last time God spoke to me, he can speak to me again. So I got a problem. I'm going to default to God. Now, let me tell you this, because I have had people say, you never go to Egypt. Well, do you know that Joseph took his child to Egypt? Yeah. Why? Because it was God's plan. It was God's plan. So really be careful how we judge people, right, about how they're going to Egypt. No, God told them to go that way. God told them to go that way. I just thought I'd throw that in for just a second. So you go to God. Now, the second thing that we want to do is just do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. Look at verse 15, okay? Watch. This is how he says you're saved. The world and other religions say that you are saved and you're delivered by doing something, by your works, by working for your salvation. And it's amazing to me that those of us who know we're saved by faith, how sometimes we get saved by faith and then we do something completely opposite the rest of our lives. Notice what it says, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust, that's your strength, but you are not willing. God's way for salvation is repentance and faith. Quietness and trust, that's your strength. Listen, all this to me means that when I'm walking through my life and I'm walking through just hard decisions, that I have to rest in Him, even though I'm busy. I've got to look at my life and say, is there anything that I got to get rid of? That's repentance. And I trust Him and I find this quiet place in my spirit, even though there's chaos around me, a quiet spirit, to hear God. To hear God. And you know what? It can happen anywhere. It can happen in some of the most dire circumstances of your life. It can happen when there's so much noise that you don't think you can hear, so much chaos around you, so much stressful things around you, but yet you can find this by doing it God's way. I look at my life. God, is there anything that I need to repent, turn from? Is there anything that I need to change my mind about? Anything I need to trust? God, I'm just going to have this quiet spirit about me, believing and trusting that you are going to be Lord. You're going to be Lord. You're a Lord over this. You know, I love the story that when Peter is thrown into prison and they're all praying for him, when the angel comes, what is he doing? He's sleeping. And he's sleeping between two guards. He's resting. He's quiet. He's not all worked up. He knows he's in God's hands. Yeah, he's in prison and he's between two guards and he's snoring. He's sleeping sweet sleep. And the angel has to come along. Hey, wake up. Wake up. It's time to get out of here. You know the story. It's an Acts. It's a great story. Listen, when I'm quiet in my spirit and my soul and I rest, that's God's way. That's God's way. Now, you know what? That's hard for me. I like to be busy. I like to go. I like to do it my way. But that ends up not working for me. Let's do it God's way. Rest. We got this power in our lives. Look at the next thing. Know God's great love and care for you. God knows you. God loves you. God cares for you. Because you see, God's saying, listen, this is my way. And in verse 16, but you said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to flee on horses and we're going to flee. We're going to get out of here. And then he says, therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. And 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You'll flee at the threat of five until you're left as a flag on the mountaintop and a signal on the hill. But look, watch verse 18. But God is gracious. He is the Lord who longs to be gracious to you. He waits to have compassion on you. The Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. I want to know God's love for me, and I want to know His care for me. I want to know that God loves me. He cares for me. He has compassion. Now, I'm going to tell you, say this. You know how sometimes we hear from God? We hear from God with action steps, through compassion. Compassion. It's the same way he acts. I have compassion on something. It breaks my heart, or I feel it, I sense it, and it just draws me to action. It draws me to, you just heard God. You just heard God. You heard the heart of God because he's compassionate. So know God's great love, great God's great care for you. And you know what? The final two things is just believe. Believe that you'll hear a word. And fifth, that it will be the right thing. That you'll know it'll be the right thing. Now look at verse 21, and we're going to close with this, okay? Watch. Well, let's look at 20. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself. Watch this. But your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Let me tell you a couple of things about this. Number one, you'll behold your teacher, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There he is. And it's almost like the Spirit. It is. It's the Spirit of God behind you saying, hey, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn the right or the left. What does this mean? We're choosing Jesus again. We're choosing him. We're choosing his way, how he walked. I read something this week that triggered a memory of mine when I was eighth or ninth. We had gone to ski in Colorado, and we were on a slope. I was on a slope in Colorado. I was on a green course. I was on this not the bunny slope, but it was green. You ever been there? You know there's a blue and there's a black and there's a double black. Okay. Well, I was on the green, and I'm glad I was. Because I was skiing and I stopped for a little rest, and I heard something behind me. I heard a voice. And this is what the voice was saying. All right, go to the left, go to the left, go to the left, straighten out, straighten out, straighten out. Okay, now go to the right, go to the right, keep going to the right, keep going to the right. There's someone on your left, be careful, go on the right, go on the right. Okay, now straighten out, go to the left, go to the left, go to the right now, go to the right. Okay, now you can go left, right, and I look up and I hear this guy, and it's a little 8-year-old blind skier. Watch this. A little blind skier, little girl. With this voice behind her, telling her which way to go. And she was having a ball. She was having a ball. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. We behold our teacher. The voice is behind us whenever we go to the right or to the left, to the right, to the left. This is the way. Walk in it. And go have a ball. And go have a ball with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm done, okay? I'm done.